With the assistant general manager of the Edmonton Elks, G. Roy Simon, joins us now on the Elks this week. G. Roy, first off, tell me a little bit about your holiday time. I guess everybody, even Chris Jones, lets you have a couple of days off and before you get back to work.
Well, we were away, but we weren't off. We were pretty busy the entire time. But I did get to spend some time with family. I got to see the kids, you know, over the Christmas holiday, and that's always good. I got to see my granddaughter, so I'm pretty pumped about that. So it was a good time off, but now it's time to get back to work.
Nice. Yeah, right. Back to work now, starting with the CFL meetings, which happened this week in Kananaskis. What kind of agenda going into these meetings, what kind of agenda is on the line, and what do you hope to see happen this week, and kind of what's the end goal?
Well, obviously, you just want to, for me, this is my first time coming to league meetings. So it gives me an opportunity to see, you know, the kind of direction the league is trying to go moving forward as far as, you know, what we're trying to do with the rosters. And, you know, the we'll finally get some definite wording on the new CBA, you know, and, you know, trying to want to not only retain players as far as, you know, going against other leagues, but, you know, trying to get, you know, some more guys up here.
I guess it's important too. Business side of the operations are there as well for the league. So it's important, I imagine, for the two sides to mingle and get to know the game plan that both sides and help each other out moving forward.
Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, that's a vital, you know, you got to work hand in hand with the business side of things. So we want to know what their thoughts are. And you know, obviously, we're always going to give our thoughts on what we think is important. So, yeah, I think it's important to have both sides of organizations in the league here together and trying to find some common ground and move forward.
Football wise, the league changed a few things last year. They made some rule changes. Give me your take. Did it help? Did it accomplish what you needed to accomplish? And I'm talking about moving the kickoffs and the hash marks, especially.
Yeah. I mean, I think that helps scoring. Obviously, you know, it puts a strain on certain areas of the game, but it definitely helps, you know, drive starts and scoring. Obviously, if you're getting the ball behind the 30, you know, your chances of scoring aren't as high. So moving the kickoff back is something that that, you know, that helped with that. Moving the hashes in is another change where, you know, it helps with, you know, offense and like I said, putting points on the board. So I think it accomplished some things, but it's something that, you know, this year we'll have a better grasp of it and be better prepared for it.
You think there's other moves that have to be made, or is the game in a pretty good place right now?
I think the game is in a good place. You know, coming off of COVID season, I think we had a decent year. I think we need to gain that momentum that we had going into COVID, you know, and you know, the popularity of the league and getting fans back in the stands and making it popular. I think, you know, the league is doing a few things internally that's helping with that, making sure players are out in the community and giving them some incentive to do that. So I think that's going to be big for us and bringing more fans back to stadiums.
You mentioned it's your first time at these meetings. I imagine it's a pretty cool environment for a football guy, because I'm guessing you walk through the lobby or you walk down a hallway, every time you turn a corner, there's another football guy to talk to about. It must be pretty cool to have that kind of environment around you.
For sure. We saw Ryan Dinwiddie when we first got here, saw Craig Reynolds just a minute ago when I was grabbing a coffee, saw Mike O'Shea last night when I was, you know, having dinner. So it's great to be able to see football people walking around the same building, have a chance to stop and chat and not only about, you know, football and holidays and things like that, just to, you know, have a conversation with football people and see them. Like I said, I'm, you know, being in Arizona and being on the road, I don't get to see as many of these guys as I'd like. So having a chance to sit down and talk for 5 minutes is something that's really special, especially for our league.
It's been about a year since you took the job as assistant general manager with the Elks. Tell me about that year. How did it go? Did it, aside from the record on the field, did the season work out the way you wanted? I know you got a new team, you got new colors to wear, you got a new boss, some of the same responsibilities I know you had in BC, but obviously some responsibilities added as well. Tell me about your season.
Well, I mean, you know, with the season we had, I felt like I got about 5 years of general manager experience in 1 year. I think, but I knew what I was getting into when I came into it. There were some challenges that I didn't foresee, and some things that were a lot easier than I foresee. I obviously realized that, you know, I'm a pretty good recruiter as far as, you know, when I get a chance to talk to players and close them and bring them into the organization. But you know, the day-to-day operations is something that was, it was challenging just because, you know, it was things that I hadn't done. You know, handing the roster every week for game days, dealing with the league on different issues, dealing with players in their contracts and making sure they're ready to play mentally off the field, as opposed to helping them, you know, on the field. So it was a great year. I had a blast. I didn't get to see as much of Edmonton as I'd like, but you know, I had a great year, I think, and you know, I think it's going to build a lot more momentum going into year two.
Chris Jones told me last month when I was talking to him, he said, if you'd have told me we'd have won only four games, I'd have lost everything I owned on a bet. I know you guys were all surprised with the way the season worked out. Have you had a chance to digest it and look back at it and decide how you have to make improvements both on and off the field?
Yeah, I mean, that's part of the process in the offseason when you're bringing in new players and having different philosophy, you know, trying to change philosophies and things like that. You know, we have to, you know, remember last year, but look forward to the future. And you know, when we're signing players and saying, all right, is he going to give us a chance to win next year as opposed to someone that we had on last year's roster? So everything, you know, we remember it. We definitely digested it and moved on from it. But it's a, like I said, it was a learning experience on all levels. We thought we would have won more games last year, but you know, that I think that builds the hunger this year moving forward to make sure we you know, we're doing all the right things, getting the right players, getting the right type of people to come into the organization to make us better, not only for 2023 but for the long haul.
The wins didn't come like you wanted at the end of the season, but I thought individually and team-wise, there was a lot of improvement that you could see. How close do you feel you are right now as you head into the new season?
Oh, I think we're on the cusp of if everything, obviously things got to go right and you know, people have to stay healthy, but if things happen the way we're planning on happen, we're going to be contending for a championship. You know, our offensive line is intact. Our defensive line is intact. We got to get a little better in the secondary. We got to get, you know, some of the pieces that we're out there hunting. You know, we have a great running back in Kevin Brown. We have a very skilled player in Dylan Mitchell, and some of the other pieces that we're going to put together, put with these guys are going to be, we feel going to be big upgrades and help us move forward.
Has your focus narrowed along with Chris this offseason? I mean, last year you guys came into the job, you didn't know what you had. You had names, you knew them from scouting them, but you didn't know what kind of team you had. You got to watch them for a year and get to know players. Now, obviously, I guess the focus has narrowed a bit this offseason because you know what you have, you know what you need moving forward.
Yeah, no doubt. Last year we were scrambling because, you know, everything we were moving on, we were going so fast. We got the job and we had to make some changes to the roster, and then we had to bring in guys. But, you know, these type of things, building rosters don't happen overnight. Now we're bringing in players that fit our identity and the type of players that we want, like I said, moving forward, not only for 2023, but moving forward for the long haul. You got to have an identity as a player, as a coach, as an administrator. We want the type of guys that fit the characteristics that we're looking for. And I think we started to build on that momentum late in the year, and it's taken us, you know, into the start of the offseason and into the rest of the way now.
You mentioned you had to strengthen the defensive backfield. You did that this week, signing Lucas Purifoy. That's a pretty good get. His getting released by BC obviously opened the door for you guys to step in.
Yeah, last year we had a chance at him and we didn't get him. You know, obviously it was, you know, a few things that happened that we couldn't get him. But, you know, like I said, he fits the characteristics of the type of guys we want and to put on the field and bring in the building. And, you know, he fits that identity. And he's a guy that's had some success in this league and we look forward to his leadership and not only in the secondary, but in the locker room. And you know, taking us to the next level. Because in the end, you know, we can set the agenda, we can set the stage for these guys. But in order for us to take the next step, these guys have to figure out that they have to lead themselves and take us to the next level. Because you know, on all the great teams, the players lead them, you know, lead the way, and we just give them the roadmap.
You've signed a few of your own guys already. Adam Konar, one of them. He comes to the top of the mind right now. Some other guys as well. You still got some pretty big names out there, and I know you and Chris Jones, I imagine, are still working on guys like Jake Ceresna, Kenny Lawler, and guys who you probably want back and maybe want to come back. That's an interesting process with free agency coming up in less than a month, right?
Yeah, you know, a lot of those guys we've had discussions with, and you know, there'll be announcements on some of those guys coming up here in the next few days, if they haven't already been announced today. But yeah, you know, we're diligently working to bring back some of our top guys, and you know, unfortunately, some of those other guys we'll move on from. And that's just the nature of football. But in the end, you know, we're targeting, you know, the guys that played best for us and guys that were good for us, not only on the field, but in the locker room. Because like I said, it's a culture thing. You know, you got to bring the right players in, but they got to be the right people as well, because it's something that, you know, it's like a puzzle. Sometimes you get the best player, sometimes you get the best person. And if we can match those as closely as possible, bringing in great players and great people, that's going to take us to the next level.
What kind of approach will the Elks have come free agency time in February?
I don't know if we'll be as active as we were last year, just because we were in a rebuilding stage. We feel we have some core pillars that we already, you know, solidified in house, so we don't have to be as active this year as we were last year.
How are you feeling about the guys you've signed? There's a lot of names that the average person doesn't know, but you've spent a lot of time scouting. You feel you obviously like what you've signed and what you're bringing to training camp.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, we're trying to retool that secondary. We're getting bigger, we're getting stronger, we're getting more physical and athletic and younger. So some of the guys that we've signed are you know, have played at a high level. They're not household names yet, but you know, they're going to be guys that if they do what we've seen in the past of them, we're going to be very successful. You know, we got a kid out of Pittsburgh, Maurice French. I saw him in Kansas City. I'm from the Pittsburgh area. I'm obviously a kid that I know of. He's very fast, very physical, very explosive. He's gonna compete for one of those top jobs and as a returner on our team. We got a couple running backs, LaDainian Brooks. He's a kid out of Grambling, very fast, very explosive. You know, had huge success at both Grambling and Southern, so look forward to him competing in the backfield and as a returner. And then we got some guys on the horizon that we're close to signing and close to bringing in. That, you know, they're going to push some of these veterans, and that's the key. We're going to bring guys in that are going to push these veterans and give us an opportunity to, you know, to compete at each position. Because in the end, when you're 4-14, no one's safe. We got to bring in competition for everybody. That's going to make everybody else better.
Last year at this time and going into training camp, the quarterback position was a big question mark. And Chris made it known it was an open competition. I imagine it's a little different approach going in this year. There's still competition, but obviously I think the job is Taylor's to win and to take. Tell me about his progression from obviously not a great start for him to the start of the year, not even dressing for the first, you know, 4 or 5 games, and then the way he finished the year. He's obviously taken a step, and hopefully everybody hopes he takes another step this season.
Yeah, you know, we knew that Taylor had talent when we got the job. We just had to rein him in a little bit, and you know, it took a couple, you know, not dressing early in the year to basically slowly giving him more and more opportunity. And when he got his chance to be the starter, he took it and ran with it, and he got better each and every week. So we felt that if we invested in him last year. You know, he knew that he was going to be the guy coming into this season. He would put in the work in the offseason to make himself an elite quarterback. And in the end, you know, if you look at Taylor Cornelius and you look at everybody else across the league, there's not another quarterback in our league that looks like him. He's 6'5", he's 225 pounds. He'll probably come in at 230 plus next year. He'll have a full offseason of training and preparing to be the guy and knowing that he's going to be the guy. So I think we'll see him take the next step moving forward for our organization. I think he's, you know, he understands he's the guy. So we'll see that leadership out of him where he's, you know, he's leading the huddle, leading our guys on offense. And like I said, we're looking for big things out of him. But again, there will be competition, you know, just because that's just the nature of the way Chris handles things. But you know, he's going to be the guy that starts it out for us.
G-Roy Simon, thanks for your time, man. Appreciate and enjoy the mountains while you're there.
For sure. Thank you.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his 6-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his 2-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.